Shout aloud, hallelujah. Let's rise up on our feet, please. As we close our eyes and raise up our two hands to the Lord and sing this song. Holy Ghost, do it again, again, do it again in my life. I open my eyes to see Jesus. We see them upon us. Holy Ghost, do it again. Holy Ghost, do it again, again. Open my eyes to see Jesus. We see that upon that truth.
To the heavens, beloved, and decree this loud and clear, louder than anyone close to you.
Every power rising up against my deliverance tonight. You are not ready, sister, saying this with all your anger. Brothers, shout it louder than the sisters. Everybody together now! Go! In the name of Jesus! Give me that power! In the name of Jesus! Now, Sepokoro Shantara Bakarabasa! Every power rising up against my deliverance tonight! Your time is up! In Jesus' name we pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank you for this evening. Accept our thanks in Jesus' name. This evening, open our understanding. Let there be no one here. Oh, go home empty-handed. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Let's not forget, God bless you. And I'd like you to listen to me very, very carefully tonight. Very, very carefully.
We are looking at what I call provoked out of position. Provoked out of position. Provoked out of position. We are looking at some scriptures very quickly. But before we read those scriptures, let me make some statements that I want you to understand very well. Number one, God is a God of positioning. God is a God of order. God is a God of positioning. God is a God of order. When something is disorderly and not organized, it's not from God. Everything that God wants to do has been well outlined and well positioned. Once things are in the position that the Almighty wants them to be, there will be no trouble. And therefore the greatest trouble we have with the universe is this depositioning powers. And if thousands listen to me here tonight, you need to pray like a mad prophet tonight. Because if a person has been depositioned 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and you want to go back to your original situation, you need to pray. You need a creative and organizational miracle to take you back to where you left. Let's read Genesis chapter 3, verse 9. Genesis 3, 9. Genesis 3, 9 says this. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him a simple question. Where art thou? Where art thou is twofold question. Where art thou means what is your condition? Where is the place you are? Where art thou? God looked for Adam in the position he had put Adam. He found that the positioning powers had removed Adam from position. So this man is no longer here in this position. Where is he? God is not blind. Not that he could not see Adam. He just could not locate where Adam was. Because he had left where God wanted him to be. Please understand this very well tonight. That's why I say some of us need to pray seriously. We need to pray like a mad prophet. And this kind of prayer is both preventive and curative. It was Adam that is supposed to be going about the garden. He said, Lord, where are you? But now it's the Lord that is happening. The Lord is saying, Adam, where thou? If Adam had gone about the garden crying, Lord, where are you? Lord, where thou? I've made a mistake, oh Lord, have mercy, forgive me. Perhaps our situation will have been better now. But didn't do that. And verse 10, he answered. Said, I heard a voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And there the problem of man started. Now, 1 Kings chapter 17. Adam in the place we have read was provoked out of his position. The positioning powers landed on Adam through his wife and they were able to deposition him. I pray that if there is anyone here tonight, already the enemy has depositioned you. And as he has depositioned you, you find that even if you are put back in a position now, so much years have been wasted. I pray that the recovery power of the Holy Ghost will come upon such people tonight in Jesus' name. In 1 Kings chapter 17, we are still looking at this principle of operation by God. 1 Kings 17 from verse 2. This is the story of the man Elijah. 1 Kings 17, 2. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this is Elijah, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. Clear description of the place the man should go. Verse 4. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. That is in that place that I have described for you. In verse 9 of the same chapter, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belong to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. And so arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water and a vessel that I may drink. you know the rest of the story. Now in 2 Kings chapter 5, 2 Kings chapter 5, God is a God of positioning. God is a God of order. God does not offer confusion. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 10. This is again Naaman and Elisha. 2 Kings 5 from verse 10. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. This is a very, very interesting story. A whole captain of the Syrian army came to Israel and came to a man of God, and the man of God did not even bother to come out. He refused to come out. He sent his servant to go and talk to him. Go and tell him to go and wash. Verse 11. What happened? But Naaman was angry and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand all over the place and recover the leper. And not Abana and Papari, rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in those waters and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. But thank God, it was a man who listened to advice. He eventually went to Jordan and washed and became clean. Where art thou? Adam was now in the wrong place. A sinner in the right place and a saint in the wrong place are birds of the same feather. They will not receive blessings. It was a question God asked Adam, where are thou? I mean, is this your condition? Are you in the place where I placed you? Is this what has become of you, Adam? So, Adam, why have you decided to wage war against yourself? Adam, why did you become a self-appointed criminal hiding away from the Almighty? Adam, why have you allowed the enemy to catch you so easily, so cheaply? That's the question God was asking Adam. God was asking Adam. And as he asked Adam, Adam really had no answer. God hid a lady, and the thing the lady had come to do on earth was to give birth to 4 prophets. And these 4 prophets were supposed to be mountain movers for the Almighty. Right from a young day, this lady had started to see visions about heaven and visions about working for God. And she entered into the university. But there was something about her that she didn't like. Her breasts were very small, and she was always complaining. And her friends were always laughing at her. They would call her all kinds of names. Some would call her Tangerine. Some would call her all kinds of names. It was always very sad. So she now started looking for advice. She went to a man of God. And that man of God said, don't worry yourself. You just concentrate on your God and your studies. Then she went to one madam who used to come and greet her mother. And the madam said, are you a virgin? Said, yes. There are university students at your age. That's why the thing is, your breast is small. Go and look for somebody. The thing will become big. So she went out, looked for somebody. And that was how she sold her virginity cheaply. Most of the depositioning of sisters start with their first experience with sex. Because that first man is forming a covenant of blood between you and him. Because blood from you will be applied on his manhood. And a covenant is thereby formed. If that first person is an occulty person, the lady is finished. If the person has no virtue at that time, the lady's virtue will be stolen. So this is how this lady that had a wonderful destiny sold out her virginity. The first thing she noticed was that immediately she had herself this virgin like this. One day as she was going home, 4 men in white garments pursued her. She ran, they ran after her. And he was screaming after her, Lord God! She did not understand. Until one day, she had a revelation, and an angel brought a book to her, and she found that her name had been cancelled. God had to look for somebody else to replace that sister. Whether God found or not, I don't know. It is a serious prayer that you must cry to the Lord that, oh Lord, don't replace me with stones. Say, Lord, let every depositioning powers lose their hold upon my life. You need to cry to the Lord that, oh Lord, Let every demonic anchor to spiritual redundancy be uprooted. You need to answer some question. That question, where is that? It's a question you need to answer. If you are not able to answer that question now, you are living a wasted life unless you will do yourself. Where God are you in the place and in the condition that God wants you to be? Is this not true of so many church grants? We have many, many babies in the house of God who have refused to grow. A Bible college man had a vision. An angel came to her and showed her a mark. Out of 14 marks, she got 3. All of a sudden, the temple sounded, and she said it would flying up. She was not going with them. She thought it was just a matter of jumping up and without flying. She jumped, but she didn't fly. She woke up crying. Where are you now, beloved? In the spiritual thermometer of the Holy Spirit. Are you a spiritual diabetic patient? Only sugar, that's what you like. Dancing, wriggling, unclean praises, pleasure. But you're not interested in anything that will drill spiritual discipline in your life. Are you a spiritual malaria patient? You are alternating between hot and cold. Or are you spiritually anemic, no blood, no fire? Or you are suffering from spiritual malnutrition? Are you a spiritual masquerade? Or are you a spiritual chameleon? Or are you a submarine Christian? You come out on Sunday, go under the water again, until next Sunday. Many lives have been stagnated by this great depositioning power known as sin. Many are like that boatman. The boatman was thoroughly drunk and he was trying to row his boat home. He rowed the boat throughout the night and he was sweating. But because he was drunk, he didn't know that that boat was tied to another stick on the beach. Many are rowing like this, but they are not getting anywhere. Where are thou, beloved? Where are thou, brother? Where are thou, sister? If the Lord should come now, with the measurement and balance of heaven, and he begins to measure us one by one, will you be in the condition that he wants you to be? I'm not talking about the condition your pastor wants you to be. No. I'm not talking about the condition your leaders want you to be, but the condition that God wants you to be. You say, I thank God, at least I'm trying. I'm a good leader, I'm a house leadership leader, I'm a pastor. What you are rejoicing on may be where God wanted you to be 20 years ago. Will you sit down like this and be rejoicing on nothing? Or will you cry to heaven and say, no, no, I don't want to be depositioned. And if I'm in the position, I return into my original state. I don't want to be a photocopy. I want to be an original. Take me back to my original format. Now back to Elijah. The Lord told Elijah, go to the brook of Cherit, and there the ravens will feed you. The ravens will not afford Elijah anywhere except that place. God told Elijah, go to Sarephat. There, the widow will feed you. The widow will not have appeared anywhere else except there. God did not say, Elijah, just move about aimlessly around like a vagabond. God, I will provide for you. No, it does not operate that way. There was the place of God's will for Elijah. There was the place of God's power and provision. There was the place of God's purpose. God has a there for each one sitting down here tonight. There is a specific position he wants you to be. If you are not in that position, you are gradually living a wasted life. Gradually living a wasted life. Gradually living a wasted life. A sister came to me in 1994 and brought this tall, handsome looking man to me and said, Doctor, this is Iba, I want to marry. And we prayed about this. Said, oh yes! We went to a Kogi mountain. It's okay. I said, let us pray. I hardly said, Father, in the name of Jesus. When I saw this tall, elegant looking sister holding a man who was a pygmy on the floor like this. The tall man that was before me was like the size, as tall as Anis. And the man was dressed in a wedding suit and the lady was holding the hand like this. I said, my sister, you said you prayed? Oh, yes, sir. Go for deliverance. No, it is written, if any man be in Christ, as a new creature. All things are passed away. We don't need deliverance. Our grandfathers, they are dead. Our ancestors are dead. Why should we be troubling them? They are gone. Remember, as I'm talking to you now, that lady has lost one eye. The first fight they had removed her right eye. The man gave her a terrible blow and the eye could not be repaired. Think, you can never be truly happy until you get positioned to where God wants you to be. You can never be what God wants you to be unless you get to that particular position that He wants you. We had a meeting many years ago in a particular church I was going. There was a lot of confusion in that place. All of a sudden, then the meeting, somebody began to prophesy. I could still remember those strange words the prophecy was saying. But that was the first time I would see somebody prophesy and laughing at all of us. Say, is this what I asked you to come and do here? Say, look at these strange people. They want to serve me, the living God. Look at them. Say, the deaf is beating the drums. The blind is playing the organ. The leper is beating the tambourine. And then the sick is dancing. What a description. That's how I describe all of us. Telling us that everybody is depositioned. Everybody is dispositioned. And it's a very sad thing. You can never be truly happy until you locate your there. And when your there is around, you refuse to occupy it, you can't be happy too. You can never truly please God unless you locate that there in its appointed condition or place. You may do a lot of very, very nice things and people will praise you. But unless you are there where you want you to be, your life will be second best, second hand. We cheat ourselves anytime we choose our own way. We cheat ourselves tremendously. There are many young men who come to this church who are so confused. And his wife was so confused one day. He went and told the marriage committee that he had prayed and he had received a sister. And when they asked him to point out the sister, the sister she was the wife of the pastor. With four children. And he said to the marriage committee, that's the woman I saw. He said, this one is a pastor's wife. Already married. So I will go and pray again. Confusion. When a person is that confused and you are choosing your own way, everything will go upside down. 10 brothers, 7 brothers will receive a single sister. They are all confused. They should pray and locate where they are going. Whatsoever we attain in life and we miss God's purpose, we are cheating ourselves. We're cheating ourselves. There that God asked for you is your place of blessing. There is the place of God's will. God has a cherished and a sacrifice for all of us. If you feel too big to stay where God wants you, you cheat yourself. You feel you are too big for it. One man came to me and said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, man of God. I said, praise God. I want to hold a crusade at a jambad. Crusade. This is a Yoruba man speaking at Jangbad. I want to hold a crusade at a Jangbad. I said, yes, what can I do? So I need sponsor, man of God, I need sponsor. I said, did God ask me to hold a crusade? Did God ask me to hold a crusade? He said, yeah, he did. I said, sorry, I don't have that kind of money to give to you. And I forgot about it. He went to an alaj and borrowed money to hold the crusade. You know, he's a fellow who should just have stayed as his normal Sunday school teacher in the church where he was, where God was using him. Oh, he wants to go out. He wants to become general overseer. And the wife too wants to become the wife of general overseer and mother in Israel. So he went, did a crusade, borrowed about 15,000 naira from the Elijah. It's a long time ago. And the crusade, his faith was that during the crusade they would take offering. They don't know that crusades don't bring money. Don't bring money. All those our services at the prayer city are not the service. When you see millions of people, the offering that we get is not up to one thing we used to finance it. In fact, sometimes the offering of the headquarter is more. They didn't know all that. But they don't wish to be properly trained. So he did a 3 days crusade. We had borrowed 15,000 naira. Ask me how much was the offering for the 3 days. The 3 days. Ask me how much. 35 naira. Amen. Immediately he became sick. Sick. And every morning the allergy did not kill it down. By Thor. Oh, Mexico. And he hide. Tell his children, say, Daddy is not at home. Until one day the allergy said, well, if you don't give my money today, I break your front door and take the door away and sell it. The man broke the front door. I took it away. It was then he ran back to me. The man of God helped me. That is why on the mountain. He said, but who asked you to leave when you were serving God? When you want to become what God does not want you to become, you become a mess. When you are in a place of divine appointing, then you receive divine appointment. When you locate your location, your appointment locates you. I want you to understand. This little boy that came to this crusade of Jesus, I'm sure when he was coming to that crusade, when somebody says, small boy, this is your lunch that you are carrying today. You feed thousands of people. I said, no, it's not possible. But it was there in the right place. When you are in the place of purpose, you are in a place of power. Now, this is the mystery. Our enemies, they know where we should belong. The devil knows where we should be, our position. And unfortunately, they can tell when you are out of position, then they'll be attacking the person. When already, as you are sitting down there, by the design of the Almighty, you ought to have had a place of your own, a house of your own. But because the enemy did not allow you to build what you should build, the positioning powers, the position the very early life, you are now living in a house where gods have been buried in the foundation, where the person at the front is a herbalist, the one on top is pressing the sand, and you fight battles every night. It's wrong positioning. That's why I say we need to cry to the Lord. Seriously to the Lord. I think the maximum mark you can score in jump is what? This 400. 400. Okay. The maximum mark you can score there is 400. No matter what long leg is available in Nigeria, no matter how corrupt Nigeria is, if you score 390, let us see the people will not admit you. So if you are wrongly positioned, life is easier for you. When you are wrongly positioned, the enemy will say, yes, I'm not in your position anyway. So I have the right to torment you. Too many Christians are babbling their air in the saloon of Delilah. You need to cry to your shaving Samson to receive air today. You may be working very hard at a very good thing. But if you are in the wrong place, you are a rebel. There was the place of God's provision. There will have been no food for Elijah somewhere else. Elijah will have died of hunger if he was out of place. Are you in your place of choosing? So much for Elijah. Naaman, the leper, was told to go to the River Jordan. It is true that Jordan was a really, really dirty water, no doubt about that. And Abana and Papa were better rivers where big men can swim. They were rivers of Damascus. But God has no appointment with Abana. God has no appointment with Papa. Although they are very nice, but the appointment of God is with the dirty River Jordan. And that's where we operate. That's where we operate. One brother in this church many years ago brought his father to see me. He said, Joe, preach to my daddy. I want him to be coming to this church. And I said, before I even opened my mouth, the man looked at this place like this. And that was many years ago. When we had mud and sand and sticks all over the place. And one lady was falling in one department, we ran to another department. That was then. And the man looked at it. No, I can't come here. No, I can't come here. So number one, he said, number one, you don't have a cemetery.
The cemetery? Who do you want to move the cemetery? So yes, paper churches are churches that are built with cemeteries attached. So as you are inside the church as a living being, you will be seeing where you will stay at last. So again, you can't believe who will bury somebody when he dies. And I told the man, I said, Daddy, why don't you die first? And then you worry about what happens after. Are you where God wants you to be? If you are not where God wants you to be, you could be under the domination of the depositioning powers. And there are many characters by which you can rule. If you are not in the right position, you are the wrongly positioned. Many things that will bring a pull to it, a magnet to it. Number one, wrong profession, like Peter. Peter was asked to be a fisher of men. He went and started fishing for fish, and so was wrongly positioned. And so, again, didn't catch fish. Number two, there is what we call cursed or polluted hands. When the hand is cursed or polluted, it won't find its position. Number three, there is what you call life without purpose. No purpose in life. And you are just following them. Number four, there is what you call zeal without knowledge. Many people come to us because they are very zealous but they lack knowledge. Number five, there is what you call planting the wrong seeds. When you are wrongly positioned, you plant the wrong seeds. Number six, there is what you call spiritual blindness. When a person is blind, it means he cannot see his opportunity from what is not opportunity. Number seven is unbelief. Remember the story of that assistant to the king or ODC to the king. When Elisha made a prophecy, by this time tomorrow, this is how much they are going to sell food. And said, even if God opens the windows of heaven, it cannot be so. It's unbelief. Number eight, a person may be laboring under the curse of non-achievement. Laboring under the curse of non-achievement. If you are here this day, and there is no single person in your family who has ever gone to the university, or you are the only one who has been there, you need to pray. You need to pray. Number nine, when somebody engages in consistent mistakes, it is evidence that it's out of place. Number 10, when the anti-harvest forces are working on somebody, you work hard, you gather it, they scatter it. Number 11, inherited poverty. When you notice a trend of poverty, poverty has a depositioning power. It messes the person up thoroughly. Number 12, when the person is under attack by the empty, whatever the person is doing, then you know you have work to do. Number 13, when sleep and slumber has taken over a person's life, it's wrongly positioned. 14, when laziness has taken over a person's life, the person is wrongly positioned. 14, you have sleep and slumber, you have laziness. 15, when you have wrong attitude towards money, anytime anything has to do with money, you just change to a tiger. It's a sign of wrong positioning. And the truth is that those who are ready to do anything and so are guessing with money, they never find the money. They never find it. They are searching for what God said, don't search for, to pursue. 16 is arrows of infirmity. 16, arrows of infirmity. Sickness can keep a person from doing what God wants him to do and being where he should be. 17, by something called territorial bondage. A whole vicinity is under a particular bondage. 18 is what you call constant examination failure. Don't take it for granted, something is wrong somewhere. 19 is satanic reallocation of a person's wealth. The enemy will take the wealth of the person and redistribute. He will redistribute everything. And 20, profitless hard work. Work. You should check whether you are in the right position. Work, no profit. 21 is debt. Debt. When you are always in debt, you should check out. Check out what you are doing. 22, gambling and alcoholism. When you see a man running around the pool house and drawing crosses on walls and lines, something is wrong with him already. Something is wrong somewhere. And the last but not the least, evil names is a source of real problem. Let's read a little bit from 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. This is amazing. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, I'm reading from verse 5. 1 Chronicles chapter 4 from verse 5. And Asher, the father of Tekoa, had two wives, Hila and Nara. And Nara bore him Ahuzam. and Hupa and Temeni and Hashtari. These were the sons of Mara. And the sons of Hillel were Zereth, Jezua, Ethnan, and Koth begat Anub, and Zebedah, and the families of Ahahel, the son of Harum. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him with sorrow. Let's start from verse 5. Look at the names in verse 5. Asher, the father of Tekoa. What is the name of Asher? When translated from Hebrew to English, Asher means darkness or blackness. The father of Tekoa. He had two wives, Hila. What does Hila mean in English language? Hila means a refuse dump. Look at verse 8. And Koth begat Anub and Zebedah. What does name Zebedah mean? Zebedah means go slow. Go slow. You also have Ahel there. What Ahel there in verse 8? Ahel. Ahel means behind. That is Mr. Last. Mr. Last. So when people begin to bear names like this, then you know that there will be trouble in their destiny. They will be wrongly positioned. If you go to the verse 11 in that place, you see a name there called and Caleb, the brother of Shua, begat Miat, which was the father of Eshton. Eshton means like a woman. And the man is a man. I'm sure that man never amounted to anything in his life. Look at verse 12. And Eshton began Betarapha and Parsia. What does Parsia mean? Parsia means a lame man. A lame man. So you can see, none of these people amounted to much that we can read of. Look at verse 12 again. And Ashton began Betarapha and Parsia and Taina, the father of Ahinahash. Ahinahash means the city of serpents. None of these people, apart from the Jabez that cried to God, had history that we can record. Tonight, what do we do? What are we going to do in this situation now? The first thing you need to do is this. You need to carry out a spiritual mapping of your life. That is, consider your life now, see where it's going, see where you are, see where you're supposed to be. Carry out a spiritual mapping of your life. Number two is this. Accept the limitation of your human efforts. That's your human effort, you can see that it cannot take you anywhere. Number three is to wage war against the depositioning powers. Wage war against these depositioning powers. And number four is to cry to heavens. Position me correctly. So in Genesis, sin provoked Adam out of position. In the book of 1 Samuel, pride provoked Saul out of his position. And as you read along, if you go to the book of that book of 2 Kings that we read, you find that anger almost provoked Naaman out of his breakthrough. And now we now come to a very critical place tonight. A very critical place tonight. Anna was praying in the temple, and this priest came there and said, "Madam, pay drunkard. Take away your wine from me. How long will you be drinking? How long will you be drinking?" But thank God, as the incentive to be provoked came upon that woman, she refused to be provoked out of position. She refused. She said, my friend, my father, no. I'm a woman, sorry, trouble. If she had looked at that man and said, and you call yourself a priest, and your eyes are not open, you cannot see that I'm praying here, and you're saying I'm drunk. Don't you think that is insulting? I demand an apology. And I will not receive any miracle that day. In Proverbs chapter 16, we are going to start praying now. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32, it says this. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Go back to the same Proverbs 29, 22. An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man abundeth in transgression. I want you to understand this scripture that we're saying. If you go to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 9. That will now nail the coffin on the edge. Ecclesiastes 7:9. Do not hasten in thy spirit to be angry, for anger rested in the bosom of who? fools. Fools. A lot of people got out of their position when anger came in. Anger has destroyed so many things, destroyed so many lives, canceled so many marriages. But many brothers, many sisters will not be where they are today if not for anger. They got angry and then left. The enemy provokes them out of their place of breakthrough, provokes them out of the place. And when you are at the door of your breakthrough, you are about to be 100% positioned. The enemy will carry out a last and final battle to provoke you. And if you allow that to happen to your life, then you are in trouble. And once that trouble comes in, it will be a terrible thing for the person to recover. Are you here today and you still have anger in your life? Your problem is more than all the world, all the witches and wizards in Nigeria put together. Even people go to deliverance gun and they start losing their tempers there. By the time anger has finished with you, you have become a human rag. And a man is only as big as the things that make him angry. Anger is self-destruction. Don't destroy yourself. Don't destroy yourself. In the olden days, when sailors or those who travel by sea, when they get to islands and they meet coconut from the tree and they find monkeys on the trees and they know that the coconut trees are very high, they had one clever way of getting the coconuts down. They just take stones and start throwing it at the monkeys. The monkeys, in boiling anger, they will now start plucking coconut and throw it back at them. Thereby, they have achieved what they wanted to achieve. I remember the story of that angry judge. This judge was always losing his temper in court. That day, they've been pursuing this robber for many, many years. They now caught him. They now brought him to court. The robber came to court with his cap on. So immediately he entered the court. The judge said, "Who is that useless man who is wearing a cap in my court?" He said, "Come on, remove the cap." The man did not remove the cap. Judge got angry. It's okay. "If you refuse to remove the cap, walk out." And the man walked out. When the prosecutor now started calling the case, said the accused has been brought here. And the judge said, "Where is the accused?" He said, "My lord, that's the person you ordered out in anger." And they never found the man again. He did it in anger. So it's the judge that was now disciplined for sending him away. Many people claim, "Hey, don't get angry." There are different levels of anger that trouble people. There is one anger the Bible called indignation. Quietly boiling anger. It's not talking. But the inside is boiling hard. Don't deceive yourself. The anger is a depositioning power. You must remove it from your life. There is what the Bible calls wrath. Wrath is burning anger. Then there is the anger the Bible calls fury. Fury is fierce anger. So fierce it destroys common sense. There's another anger the Bible calls rage, which is violent fury, embracing loss of common sense, loss of self-control. Then there are so many Christians who come to church. They have what we call prolonged anger. They just hold tight to the anger for a long, long time. Long, long time. Prolonged anger. And it's very, very sad. Many years ago, we had a strange case here. This woman reported her husband to jail. Anytime she arrived from work, the man would say, "Bring your underwear, bring your underwear. I want to know whether you are committing fornication." One day, the woman too got angry, removed the underwear and used it to wipe his face. And a fight started. The quarrel was settled, but there is this prolonged anger still there. That is what we call suppressed anger. Just I did like pressure cooker. It's still there. If you don't deal with these things, they will deposition you tonight. We have prayers to pray here. Some of them very strange prayers. But if you love your destiny, it's good to pray them harder than anyone close to you. Rise up on your feet, beloved. Today is a day for those who know that if things had worked normally in their lives, they're supposed to be stinkingly rich. They're supposed to be powerful men and women of God. But somewhere along the line, they were depositioned. Some have been in position for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. Some have never been in the position God wanted them to be any time in their lives. All eyes closed. If you are here this evening and you are not born again, and you have not just rendered your life to Jesus,
wherever you are, while all eyes are closed, just raise up your right hand. Let us pray with you. If you want to surrender your life to Jesus tonight,
raise up your right hand. Just say what I'm going to say for me. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you today. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Take control of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that short prayer with me, if you may please just find a way here so that we can pray more with you. You will open your mouth with only boiling anger. Please, pray these prayers from your heart. Don't worry what is happening around you. One gets to a stage in one's life and you go mad with whatever situation is running you down. When you pray desperate prayers, then progress begins. And desperate prayer of children of God brings results. If you are tired of the situation in which the enemy has put you, you will now raise up your voices like fire and like thunder. Negative prophecies against my life! Die! In the name of Jesus! Deal with the negative prophecies! Negative prophecies against my life. Name you play. You see that prayer we pray now. You see what it has done already. That's right. That's right. That's right. You open your mouth like fire and like thunder again. Every depositioning power of my father's heart. In the name of Jesus, with the position in power, deal with them tonight. In the name of Jesus. Open that mouth. Open that mouth. Don't be afraid. Something must happen in your life tonight. Masakata poshente yabokoraba. Ribosapanda kapoyabo shente yaba. Marada kapoyabo poshente yabo kolabaka. Maponda kapoyabo shente yabo. Ribosapanda kapoyabo shente. Paraka shente yabo shente. Jesus looked at Peter.
Simon, son of Jonas. Why did he mention his father's name? Because the curse had to be broken. You will cry out your name.
Daniel!
Son of Emukoya.
Look at your divine position! Look at your divine position. Whether the devil likes it or not, look at your divine position. Look at it. Look at it. Look at it. Look at it. The Sepala Kayaba Shente Yaba. Open that mouth. Open that mouth. Today is the day. Yes. Masepopo Yaba Shente Yaba Raba. Mopi Arika Sete Yaba Shente. Look at. Look at. Look at your divine position.
Jesus' name we pray.
You see, the Lord is going to show so many different revelations that will move their lives forward. There is someone here, although you have been moving about with your life for years, but you didn't know that your life has been caged into a wandering cocoon. Right there where you are, the power of God is coming upon you, and that yoke of vagabond spirit is broken. You know, pray one of the strongest prayers we are going to pray here tonight. And if you pray it seriously, you will see the effect instantly. Anything programmed into my life to be positioned, die in the name of Jesus. Yes. 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 And if you plant that into my life, that you position me. Your time is up. Your time is up. Your time is up. Your time is up. Die, die, die. You be second. Program to the position. Listen. Jesus, let me pray. Let us wait for this to happen. Yes. So this is only Anna. Any power that wants me to stay in the wrong position till I die. Can you shout this louder than the person next to you? What are you waiting for? God! In the name of Jesus. Yes. I'm happy now. I can see the alignment taking place. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I give you a minute now, beloved. If you are here and you know anger is in your life, speak against that spirit now and ask it to move. Ask it to go. To move. Ask it to move. Ask it to go. To move. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Let's place our two hands on each other, because our closing prayer is going to concentrate in that area. Every fire of darkness prepared against Jesus. Every fire of darkness prepared against my hand, be quenched. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the effect of any unclean thing I've touched be wiped off. In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and pray like that. That's right. In Jesus' name we pray. I prophesy breakthrough upon my heart. In the name of Jesus, I prophesy breakthrough upon my hand. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus' name we pray. Oh God, alive! And let my hands catapult me to greatness. In the name of Jesus. Yes, name we pray. Set my hand cooperate with the hands of the Almighty. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus' name we pray. I break every bondage walking against my hand. In the name of Jesus, break it. In Jesus' name we pray. Many wonderful transactions have taken place here tonight. Glory be to the name of the Lord. So if God has to remove, we will remove. If God has to demote, we will demote. If God has to kill, we will kill. So that his children can occupy the position of one God has occupied. Let's hear the grace in fellowship.